Members, let's bring this meeting to order. Thank you, Representative Moore.
Ready to vote?
Members, we need to approve the minutes from the March.
Madam Chair, I move the minutes.
Thank you, Representative Vogel. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Do I have to hit that?
Minutes are approved. All right. Representative Anderson, would you like to introduce your bill?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Yes, I'd like to move House File 2741 and if approved, it would go to the general register, but I have an amendment, Madam Chair, to move to get the bill in the proper order that I would like.
Okay.
It is the A1 amendment.
All right. You would like us to move the A1 amendment? Representative Anderson, would you like to move your A1 amendment?
I would, Madam Chair, and the amendment makes just a couple of changes in numbers and years on page 1, line 8. It deletes the year 2018 and substitutes the year 2016, and on line 20, again, page 1, it changes the year 2017 to the year 2015.
Okay. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Okay. All in favor of the amendments signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, amendment is adopted, and your bill is in the order that you would like.
Half a broken.
Correct? Okay. Representative Anderson, would you like to describe your bill? And
thanks, Madam Chair. This bill simply extends the expiration date of a bill that we have here on statute. And you may wonder why it's an E-20 mandate or legislation, and that's to if the EPA or federal government eventually goes to E-20, we could do that as well here in Minnesota. Right now, of course, we are at an E-10 blend. Most gasoline sold here in the state is blended with 10% ethanol, and what this bill does is allow us to go to E-20 if and when the EPA grants a waiver to the Clean Air Act, if and when they would do that. In this time period. And again, we believe that the ethanol would be the basic foundation of this move to higher blends. We want to make sure that ethanol is the foundation of our renewable fuels as we move ahead. And the reason for shortening some of these time frames is to allow discussion to take place. We are moving along, technology is increasing, and other possible biofuels may or are entering the situation, commercialization here, and we would like to allow those entities and interests to get together and work in the interim possibly and come up with some different language, different standards, but yet maintain that we want to make sure that ethanol is the foundation of the Minnesota industry blending gasoline as we move forward. So that's the essence of my bill, Madam Chair. And again, it extends this deadline on line 120 by 3 years to 2015.
Okay, thank you, Representative Anderson. Would you like to, Representative Morrow, would you like to ask a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, I think at the end of that you I think got to the point. Current law is that the deadline was up to, I believe, 2013.
Correct.
Your original bill extended 5 years, and now you're offering us, I think, a compromise position where the extension would be, I believe, for 2 or 3 years. Yes. To allow those conversations to continue. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, the amendment is a compromise with the parties involved to shorten that time from 5 years down to 3 years. My hope is that it would take less time than that to come up with some language to allow more entries into this biofuels field. But as of right now, and by the way, I just checked the owner's manual in my car this morning, and it mentions the fuels to be used. It says oxygenates such as ether or ethanol are recommended. And my car is a 2011, so there needs to be some changes for manufacturers as well if we're going to be allowing different additives and such oxygenates into our gasolines. But yeah, again, the reason is that we want to allow more discussions to take place, but yet so we compress that time frame from 5 down to 3 years.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions from Representative Morrow?
No, thank you, Madam.
Right. Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson, I understand what you're doing here and appreciate that. I believe I voted for this when it originally came up, but I asked my constituents through my email update what they thought of extending it, and I didn't get one favorable response. And most of them had exclamation points on what their thoughts were. And I just want the committee to know that time moves on and is dynamic. And you can't assume that what people believe before or what they're supporting is going to stay that way. And I think particularly in suburban districts, there is less support for mandating use such as this bill. So I can't support it. I understand what you're doing. But I think folks need to know and understand and appreciate that there's changes going on out there, and some of the assumptions on broad-based support for these things may not be there as much as they were in the past.
Representative Hansen? Any other? Representative Anderson, would you like to bring forth some testifiers?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would. And as they're coming down, we have folks from Minnesota Biofuels and a couple of producers, also some folks from corn growers. And just, I understand where Representative Hansen is coming from, that yes, we do need to expand and look at other avenues of the biofuels production. And again, we have been in conversations and talking that those talks will take place, and we will have agreements and such moving ahead. But in the short term, and I would call 3 years or 2 years or whatever short term, that we could allow those talks to take place and come up with the right decision that doesn't impact anybody negatively as we move ahead, and to come up with a plan that allows us to have more players on the team, so to speak.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Welcome to our committee. Would you please identify yourself for the record and who you represent?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Tim Rudnicki, and I represent the Minnesota Biofuels Association. In a nutshell, the Minnesota Biofuels Association is an idea that had been germinating for quite some time, and it was finally launched only in September of 2011. And I'm here to tell you that our members and prospective members are strongly in support of the amendment that Representative Anderson's set forth. And briefly, I'd like to share with you a few important reasons for that support. First of all, the Minnesota Biofuels Association is dedicated to working in a collaborative manner with biofuel producers in the state of Minnesota. We support education initiatives that look at improved ways to use co-products and biofuels, and we are looking at ways of advancing all biofuels in the state of Minnesota. The key here is that this is about advancing biofuels, which is replacing petroleum. Now, to the representative's point about suburban constituents that may have concern, I too have a concern as I drive a diesel-powered engine. My spouse drives a gasoline-powered engine, and what we have come to realize is there's a specific type of fuel that goes into each type of engine. And more importantly, as consumers, what we have found in research is that the price of gasoline has been suppressed by about 89 cents per gallon. And there are some studies that have been validated over the course of 3 or 4 years, and I think that's a significant point for us to note. It's not have we have we changed the composition of ethanol and gasoline? It's the fact that we have changed the composition of the supply in the marketplace. But for the introduction of ethanol to this date, we would be paying at least 89 cents more per gallon. This is a supply and demand issue. I think more importantly, you have either set forth or have supported initiatives that have put the renewable fuels industry on a track to displace petroleum. So thank you for your leadership. Thank you for setting the course, but this is only the first chapter of many chapters in the biofuels industry. So we stand united. Elkhorn Clean Fuel out of Claremont, Central Minnesota Ethanol Cooperative out of Little Falls, Chippewa Valley Ethanol Company out of Benson, Minnesota, Granite Falls Energy, Granite Falls, Guardian Energy, Janesville, Heartland Corn Products, Winthrop, High Water Ethanol, Lamberton, Corn Plus, Winnebago, Bush Mills, Atwater, Heron Lake Bioenergy, and Green Plains Renewable Energy, Fergus Falls. Given our youth as an organization, those are the supporters we can bring to the table today, and I'm sure there will be more to come. So the key, once again, you've set us on a track to displace petroleum. It's saving us money at the pump. Thank you. We can do more to save money at the pump. We can do more to make Minnesota energy independent. And we have some producer members that will give you more context for a few numbers, but I'll leave a couple of them with you right now. The corn and ethanol industry to date, very conservative numbers indicate, are supporting about 70,000 jobs in Minnesota. 70,000 jobs. And on a pure economic velocity multiplier of dollar effect, the data conservatively shows the corn and ethanol industry is generating about $12 billion. $12 billion. And that's only a start. If we have the extension, as Representative Anderson's proposing, that will allow the industry time to work with the Environmental Protection Agency, to work with state agencies, to advance even more renewable fuels in Minnesota. It will allow us time, as Representative Anderson indicated, to work with other biofuel producers to figure out not how to carve up a small biofuels market, but how to expand it. And that, I believe, will be a challenge that will serve all of us and future generations to come. So once again, we are strongly in support of extending the E20 termination dates by 3 years, and respectfully ask for your support and your attention as other producers give you some tangible experience on the ground. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rudnicki. Is there, maybe we should take all the testifiers for biofuels and then maybe take questions, if that's all right.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Randall Doyle. I am a manager of Alcorn Clean Fuel in Claremont, Minnesota, the one that was mentioned earlier, one of the earlier producers here in the state. Our company was founded because this legislative body had an idea that they wanted to hang on to their dollars. The state of Minnesota doesn't produce oil, and every time we fill up our cars, we send dollars out of the state. The state found a way to make that lessen. They had a goal of at first replacing 10% of our gasoline supply, and the impact of that legislation was far in excess of what I think the legislative body at that time even hoped to accomplish. They wanted to produce 200 million gallons of ethanol in Minnesota. We're over a billion gallons now, which means we now get to export energy to other states and have their dollars come in. I think that's a success story that's huge, and this legislation builds on that success and continues. It follows along with the renewable fuel standard that's the national legislation and kind of helps set the path and provides a pathway, at least for Minnesota, to move to the direction that the federal renewable fuel standard moves. So we're here to speak in strong support of extending the time frame realistically, because EPA is not very fast. Let's be honest. And that's the reason we have, we're coming and asking for additional time, because we need to give them time to do their job as well. We believe that this legislation does that, and we're in strong support. Madam Chair, members, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle. Anyone else that represents biofuels? Come join us and identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Mike Yerke. I'm the general manager for Chippewa Valley Ethanol Company in Benson. Similar to Randy's company, our company started in 1996. We have 950 member owners, and the vision at that point was to be a ethanol facility that produced 15 million gallons on an annual basis. We currently operate at about 48 million gallons of production capacity. The company's history has been a remarkable one. I've been affiliated with it for not quite 3 years. But as we looked and bespoke at our last annual meeting in January, we marked off several milestones. Over the course of the history of our company, we have generated on its own 500 million gallons of ethanol, about $115 million of net income, and about $80 million of distributions back to the farmer owners. So I think it can certainly be viewed as a success, and as Randy said as well, in large part to what the legislative body here in Minnesota developed and supported years ago. I mentioned I am not a native Minnesotan. I actually started in this industry in Iowa. And I think it can't be lost on anybody the importance of the leadership role that Minnesota took. In Iowa, we talked about how can we achieve the goals that Minnesota has achieved. And on the federal level, I happen to sit on the Renewable Fuels Foundation. And we talked there about what's going on in Minnesota and the progressive legislative action that was taken when E20 was supported in the manner that it was. So when I think about that and we look at the legislation that's being discussed today, I think it's vitally important that we continue the timeline as envisioned in the proposal before you, because indeed there are a lot of eyes on the state. Moving to E20 is a goal that we are realizing and moving forward with, and it's evidenced by actions that's happening even currently at the federal level as EPA discusses E15 and the viability of the fuel and its entrance into the marketplace. Very important to continue that vision, to stay on track, and continue to move down that road. So I would echo previous comments in thanking you for your support, and again encourage your support as well for this measure.
Thank you. Are any other testifiers? Come join us.
We're just getting going.
Yeah, I saw the list. I thought so. Would you please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is John Magus, and I'm president of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. My wife, Cindy, and I farm about 1,200 acres in central Minnesota, and we're involved in local ownership of two ethanol plants in central Minnesota, which produce ethanol and DDGs as a feedstock. You know, our mission is to identify and promote opportunities for corn growers while enhancing the quality of life. And that's one thing that the renewable fuels have done in with the Minnesota farmers. It's enhanced their quality of life. It's improved rural America. It's brought more income to the local farmers. And through the local ownership of the ethanol plants, it's greatly enhanced the quality of farm life. Madam Chair and members of the committee, please understand that there is agreement on a three-year extension for a three-year extension of this bill made by the stakeholders, and the Minnesota corn growers remained committed to that extension in that agreement. This change will continue to support the billions of dollars in investment that was made made to the Minnesota ethanol industry and maintain our position as a national leader in a renewable fuels policy. This must be extended this session or the policy will expire. We support developing and using all renewable fuels that increase the market for corn, including biobutanol. And however, we do not believe this should come at the expense of the state's ethanol industry. We understand that the estimated future biobutanol production at the Luverne plant will generate about 2% of the state's total renewable fuels market, approximately 18 to 20 million gallons of the over 1 billion gallons of ethanol that's produced in the state of Minnesota. Further, it's our understanding that advocates have been preparing to enter the chemical feedstocks, plastics, and the jet fuels market. That's early commercial development, and motor fuel has not been their highest interest as of now. We are concerned that changing the current law to reflect the demands of a single company that is not yet producing biobutanol, and for such a small portion of the future market, puts at risk the other proven 98% of the industry. This is a risk that we are not willing to take at this time. So thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Magnus. Appreciate that. Other testifiers? Yes. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you.
And
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Jay Summers. I'm the general manager at the Agri-Energy facility in Luverne, one of the first ethanol plants in Minnesota. I oversee the operations and the retrofit of the facility. I've been with the plant since its startup in September 98, so I've been there over 13 years, and I've been the general manager for 9. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. Madam Chair, if this hearing were held in Luverne today, you would see 230 construction workers working 24 hours a day, and now 7 days a week. You'd also see the vast amount of steel and equipment yet to be installed in our facility. You'd see the excitement that the employees have on the project. You'd see how the farmer owners of this plant are excited about the opportunity and technology that they see coming to their former plant. There are many no vacancy signs in the motels in Luverne. There's economic development throughout the city and the community. You'd see the emails and letters from students wanting to learn more about isobutanol and the production and uses. Again, the employees are excited about being part of the first advanced fermentation biofuels facility in the world. GEVO has been good to work for, bringing opportunity and technology to Luverne. I know some of you were at the groundbreaking last summer and were able to experience this. However, isobutanol is bringing new opportunities to the state. However, Minnesota, we are in a state that does not allow production or our product to be used as a motor fuel. Current law needs to be changed to include all biofuels, not just ethanol. Innovation and technology changes fast, and Minnesota needs to change with it. We cannot afford to let opportunity get away from us by not addressing this change now. You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Would you like to identify yourself and
good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Paul Dwyer, manager of business development for GEVO, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. GEVO is a Colorado-based renewable fuels and chemicals company with Minnesota roots. We make isobutanol, a 4-carbon alcohol. We make it by retrofitting existing ethanol plants with our proprietary technology. When we retrofit a plant, we use the same amount of corn and produce the same amount of distillers grains. Isobutanol can be used directly as a solvent and as a gasoline blend stock, or easily converted using existing refining and petrochemical processes into jet fuel, plastic bottles, and chemicals like synthetic rubber. Multiple markets means the potential for better profits and greater sales and sustainable economic conditions for corn growers, plant operators, and local communities. As I mentioned, butanol is a 4-carbon alcohol. Those two additional carbon molecules give biobutanol more BTUs per gallon than ethanol and keep it from diluting into water. It can be used in all model year cars and all engines and works great in your lawnmower, snowmobile, or motorboat. Finally, it can be transported in pipelines and dispensed in ordinary gas pumps, which means a drop in fuel. Let me tell you why we picked AgriEnergy in Luverne for our first facility. Many of you know Pat Gruber and Chris Ryan, Gevo's CEO and COO. Both are products of the St. Paul school system, graduates of the University of Minnesota, and successful ex-Cargill executives. I myself was born and raised in St. Paul, attended Crete and Durham Hall for high school, and many of our other executive and engineering leadership is also populated with Minnesota natives. The Minnesota roots were not the main reason we chose Luverne, however. We chose it for two other reasons: the vision and leadership of its corn co-op and ownership, and its efficient, low-cost operations. We looked at several sites in other states with competitive conditions, but it was our pride as Minnesotans that we chose Luverne. Minnesota was a leader in support of the ethanol industry 20 years ago, and we wanted to keep it in the forefront of the next wave of the biofuels industry, production of true drop-in fuels and chemicals from corn. There are 230 construction workers doing two shifts a day right now in Luverne to get our plant up and running by June. The employees of the plant are excited about working at what will be the world's first commercial biobutanol plant. When we had our groundbreaking ceremony last May, Senator Klobuchar, Senator Magnus, Representative Schumacher all joined to help us celebrate. One of the other participants was Brian Jennings, head of American Coalition for Ethanol. Brian congratulated us as well and observed that the Luverne plant was the first new construction the ethanol industry had seen in many years. The legislation discussed today extends the mandate that every gallon of gasoline sold in Minnesota be blended with 20% ethanol. If you wish to extend it, we strongly urge you not to specify ethanol in the statute. If the legislature specifies ethanol, no other biofuel can be blended in the gasoline here. If you blend any other biofuel, the ethanol is diluted below the mandated level and the fuel is no longer legal. If the committee wants to see the benefits of biofuels in our economy, please use language that covers any biofuel the EPA approves for use in gasoline. Isobutanol, for example, has received 12.5% blending approval. The ethanol mandate did make sense when it originally passed. Then it helped Minnesota pave the way for ethanol use. The public interest intent was clear. You want to see renewable carbon from corn and other biomass replace fossil carbon in our fuels and chemicals. It's good for the state's farmers, it is good for the environment, and it is good for our nation's balance of trade and energy security. We agree wholeheartedly with this intent. The issue is new technology like Gevo's is changing the biofuels landscape. New biofuel molecules are coming onto the market starting in our very own Luverne plant this June. We plan to expand to 350 million gallons per year in 2015, and other companies have a similar intent. While Gevo owns 100% of the Luverne facility, that was so we could prove out our technology on our own dollar. Our second plant is a joint venture with a co-op in South Dakota, and going forward we expect the majority of our plants to be joint ventures and license act transactions of the Gevo technology. The flexibility in that structuring allows the co-op model to continue to thrive and for the farmers to continue to participate in the wealth creation of the renewable fuels industry. If you specify ethanol in the legislation and thereby put up a barrier to any other biofuel entering the state's gasoline, you'll be denying Minnesotans the opportunity that motorists in other states will have, the opportunity to buy and use the most innovative new biofuels available, biofuels made right here in Minnesota. In summary, we urge you to stay in the forefront of the biofuels industry. Do not stifle innovation by picking a winner. Ethanol is a great biofuel, but is already blended in nearly 100% of the gasoline sold in America. New biofuel molecules are now ready to enter the market. Give us the chance to compete in this market. Let consumers decide the best biofuel. Good government policy should point the way to the future, not tell you exactly what road to take and close every alternative route. Thank you again for allowing me to appear at this hearing today, and be pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Dwyer. Do we have any other testifiers? Okay. All right. Members, do you have questions of our testifiers or Representative Anderson? Representative Franson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, could you just explain why to the issue that Laverne has there, why the bill is only for ethanol. I mean, Laverne seems to have some valid concerns.
Madam Chair, Madam Chairwoman, I apologize for that.
That's okay. Representative Anderson.
The biobutanol is a relatively new industry. I've learned a lot about them in the last week or so as we are discussing this bill with them, and I think they do have a strong future. There's concern about overproduction right now. There's a blend wall. The federal standard is, I think, 13 billion gallons, and we're at that point right now. And there's an oversupply of ethanol in the market. Now, as our gasoline consumption nationally goes down, it's been down for 47 consecutive weeks. So I think the issue is one of concern about maintaining market share. And as time goes on, it's my strong belief that we will have a place for biobutanol. The thought is right now to let's move slowly and to have the parties get together and come up with a plan that's acceptable to both sides. Ethanol is concerned about maintaining market share. And I think that's the concern right now. Ethanol has got to be the base for the biofuels industry in Minnesota. It's a strong base, so the plants throughout the state have really caused excitement in rural areas, and we want to maintain that strong presence along with the inclusion of biobutanol in the future.
Representative Franson, follow up.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And so, Representative Anderson, would this bill be picking winners and losers?
Representative Anderson?
That depends on what side of the tree you look at, I guess. Again, the intent is to maintain the strong presence of ethanol, and as time goes on, and I'm thinking a year, 2 years, hopefully we can, and we have commitments from the parties to get together to come to one consensus. So in the short term, we're protecting ethanol's base, but again, have the commitments to have all parties come together in the off session is as soon as they're going to get together and talk.
Representative Franson.
Thank you. Madam Chair, to the testifiers, what happens to your business as you are expanding and, reaching out to new business ventures if the legislation stays the same for the next 2 to 3 years?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Dwyer.
The issue becomes when we talk with refineries and other market participants, and they say, can we sell your isobutanol into the gasoline market? We can't say yes in Minnesota. So it becomes a market issue for us to do the business development required to bring contracts to future ethanol plants in the state to be able to serve isobutanol. Gevo's business model is to both be a technology producer and also bring customer offtake agreements for the ethanol plants. And with the not being able to get certain refiners to have the ability to sell the gasoline in the state, they're not willing to work with us. You know, three, 4, 5 years out is too far. We need to be able to see a clear path to being able to get into the market in an accelerated manner. You know, we're starting up production here in June. We'd like to be able to start selling product in the state that we're working in. And, Madam Chair, if I may, in terms of extending the blend wall and the blend wall issues that the ethanol industry has today, isobutanol has a 12.5% blending approval, so we're expanding the blend wall by 25%. In addition, a 100 million gallon a year ethanol plant only makes 80 million gallons of isobutanol, so we're also taking 20% of the volume off the market. So combine that, you've extended the blend wall by about 40 to 45%.
Okay. Any other follow-up, Representative Franson? Okay. Representative Schumacher?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and this is for the testifier to begin with. You had mentioned that you can't say yes if someone wants to sell your butanol in Minnesota. That's correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Mr. Dwyer, yes. Mm-hmm. Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Dwyer, how many states can you say yes to right now if they were to ask?
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Mr. Dwyer, yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Madam Chair, currently Minnesota and Florida are the only two states that we cannot sell isobutanol into. And actually, the Florida governor just announced that he'll be signing a bill to remove the ethanol mandate. So we have federal approval to send to sell isobutanol into the gasoline blend stock. It's the ethanol-specific language in the state which does not allow us to get into the market.
Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's my understanding that the next facility you have going up is in South Dakota. Is that correct, Mr. Dwyer?
Mr. Dwyer?
Madam Chair, that's correct. Okay.
Madam Chair, how has South Dakota approached the expansion of your facility in that state?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, South Dakota has been very supportive of us. We are able to sell the isobutanol into the state, and in fact, the South Dakota state has given the producer payments to isobutanol, and they've made a switch to make sure that our facility continues to receive those producer payments, which was nothing that we'd really expected, but the plant manager in Redfield had gone to the state, asked for it to be changed, and that was a nice plus for both the co-op and GEVO once we start producing isobutanol.
Thank you. Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are you asking for producer payments in anything for Minnesota as well in this, since that's what you got in South Dakota, or?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, no, we are not. In fact, we let approximately $2 million of producer payments that are owed to the plant expire and gave those back to the state, which was money that GEVO lost when it purchased the facility. So we're not asking for any new producer payments. We don't want any mandates. We just want a fair chance to compete in the market.
Okay. Follow-up, Representative?
That's all I have for now, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Morrow?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, I want to make sure I understand the situation here. It seems like we've got two things going on. One is the deadline that you're attempting to extend in this bill, and the second issue may be, or it sounds as though we need to discuss at some point ethanol, isobutanol, and other additives to oxygenate gasoline. If your bill doesn't pass, will butanol be an acceptable additive to gasoline?
Representative Anderson.
Representative Morrow, if this bill does not pass, it would appear to me that these minimum standards would expire on August 30th of next year, and in actually December 31st of this year.
Madam Chair.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, Representative Anderson. I think I made that confusing. I fully understand and I respect the arguments about butanol and whether butanol should be an acceptable additive. I have no problem with that discussion. I think that discussion should continue. I'm not sure that discussion needs to continue in the bill that's before us today, because, Representative Anderson, if your bill doesn't pass, nothing changes for our friends in Luverne. Butanol is not going to be an acceptable additive. If you want to help butanol, I think what you have to do is you have to do a second bill. You have to do a bill that would add butanol as a acceptable additive. And I personally don't know enough about the science to know whether that is the time to do it. Maybe Representative Schumacher, it is the time to do it. And I would encourage folks who advocate for that to introduce the bill to do that. But right now, it seems like the question to it before us today, Representative Anderson, is do we extend the deadline?
Representative Anderson.
Yeah, that's a correct assessment. We are looking at two different issues here, but as stated, if this bill goes no place, it all goes away. So we need to look at this bill first. And if I could comment a couple of things on the producer payments, I applaud Luverne for not seeking those, but as I understand, their ownership structure changed, so they were not eligible for those payments at the time that they were made last summer. And also their production, again, as I understand, we've had a lot of talks these past couple of weeks, 18 million gallons is going to be going into the solvent market. And correct me if I'm wrong about that, but so your immediate production would not necessarily need the transportation market to make your plant profitable or ongoing. Is that correct, sir?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, it is correct that we'll be selling majority of the product from the facility into the chemicals market, but we will also begin seeding the fuels market. It's a bit of a a moot point for us to work on selling into the fuels market in Minnesota if it's not allowed.
Okay, understand. If I can ask a question, but if in the future, near future, we worked on something for specifically for bio-butanol, would that not be acceptable?
It would certainly be helpful, Madam Chair, to if we had worked on something. The extension of the E20 mandate simply puts up another barrier. The E10 mandate also is a barrier, so we have several challenges in front of Gevo to move in front of bio-butanol. All we're asking for is that it become a biofuels mandate, more so than a specific technology. The opportunity to be able to sell into the market will allow us to take production from Laverne, production from Redfield, as well as future plants, and be able to sell bio-butanol into the state.
Okay, thank you. Representative Purcell?
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the testifier, is there language that you've brought forward as any kind of an amendment to this bill?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, we have our suggestion is to use language that covers any biofuel the EPA approves for use in gasoline.
Follow up, Ms. Representative Purcell.
But there's no amendment that we're aware of at this time. Proposed amendment.
Not that I'm aware of.
Madam Chair, no, there's no specific amendment.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions of the members? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will ask for a roll call.
Okay, so noted. Are there any other testifiers? Oh, excuse me, Representative Franzen. Yes. Oh, Fritz, excuse me.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I too wanted to request a roll call on this. And also want to get back to the reason for the bill. The bill today is to extend the time that we've asked for the ethanol distributors and my farmers. And when I look at 70,000 jobs and $12 billion, I think that's a huge footprint in this state. And as an ag committee, we ought to make sure that we are looking at why this bill is here, and the other gentlemen, the testifiers, will have to come back at another time with another bill and more discussion at a later time. But today, we're here for this bill.
Thank you, Representative Fritz. Representative Poppy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that we had a presentation on this last week, and that the question about collaboration versus competition is already seeming to rear its head to be talking about competition here with regards to moving forward between these two enterprises. And not that that's not a healthy thing to do or a good thing to do. I'm just, it didn't take long to go from a collaborative approach to a more competitive approach.
Representative Swazinski.
Madam Chair, to the testifier, just kind of looking at the idea of capacity and production. So the plate production of the plant that you purchased was X, and then what kind of production are you going to have from the retrofitted plant? Are you going to be adding gallons of biofuel to the state? Are you going to have less gallons being produced within the state? Obviously, if it was shut down, it's not going to be producing anything, but I'm just saying from totals to totals, what kind of numbers are you looking at?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, the Laverne facility is a 21 million gallon per year ethanol plant. It'll make 17 to 18 million gallons per year of isobutanol. The reason for that is isobutanol is a more energy-dense molecule, so you don't lose any of the carbon from the corn. It just gets compacted into less molecules. What that means for a driver is that if you were to get 100 gallons on ethanol, you'll get 125 gallons on isobutanol on a per gallon basis. What it does allow us to do is it gives us the flexibility to expand the plant at a later date. Given the fact that there's less volume going through the back end of the facility, you could increase the hammer mill and increase demand for corn. And that was something we talked about in our last call.
Okay, thank you. Any follow-up, Representative Sweeney?
Yeah, Madam Chair, so you've got to my question to the testifier again. If you are looking at the potential then You have a potential production from South Dakota through your business that at some point in time you may be able to use that capacity to bring that in the state. What is that capacity going to be from that facility that you're working on there?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, the second facility is a 50 million gallon a year ethanol plant, which will make 40 million gallons of isobutanol. As mentioned, Gevo intends to get to about 350 million gallons per year of isobutanol production by 2015. That works out to a little over 400 million gallons of ethanol capacity.
Okay. Any follow-up, Representative? Okay. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to mention that the there had been discussion earlier about picking winners and losers here, and I think if we allow for our ethanol industry to be undermined in any way in this state, we all lose as far as the biofuels and renewable energy system and industry in our state. This is the launch pad, as it's been said many times over, and I do think there's a opportunity here to move forward with additional legislation in the future that helps with the biobutanol industry. But I don't think that we should do anything that's going to harm the ethanol industry in the meantime. We need to continue this extension. I think that the three-year compromise is a good compromise. So I would encourage support and thank Representative Anderson for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Representative Shemansky.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the testifiers. A couple of questions. Cost of production, I know you're not in full-scale production yet, but do you have an estimate or a comparison to the cost of, for better use of lack of a better term, fermenting biobutanol versus ethanol? Cost of production going to be much different, or will it hit the market at about the same price as ethanol?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, the cost of isobutanol is approximately 1.3 times the cost of ethanol, given the fact that it is a more energy-dense molecule. On an absolute basis, the costs are about the same, but since you have about a 20% volume shrink, the per-gallon cost will be slightly higher. Now, you're not paying any more on an energy basis for the volume, and there's also blending properties in isobutanol, which will allow refiners to use more cheap blending properties than they have to use currently today when they use ethanol, which will mean that the price of the pump will not change.
Okay. Representative Shemansky.
One additional question, Madam Chair. the technology that Gevo has developed is proprietary. Will you be looking at partnering with other existing ethanol plants or be able to sell your technology to other producers to use the same technology?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, yes, so we own the plant outright for Luverne. The second facility is a joint venture where we are bringing the capital for the project, and a co-op in Redfield, South Dakota is our joint venture partner, so they own a share of the plant as well. Going forward, we will be selling our technology to other ethanol plants. If they do not want Gevo to bring capital to the project, we are happy to be licensors of the technology, and we're also happy to do joint ventures where if an ethanol plant does not have the capital, Gevo can bring the capital, and they remain owners.
Okay.
We really like the co-op model. It makes sure that the community stays involved and makes sure that we have a reliable supply of corn coming to the facility.
Sure. Representative
Schmansky. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, would you be willing to work with the folks who represent the butanol industry? I know I've had bills in the past to talk about next generation ethanol, native grasses, for example, to create fuels. Would you be willing to work with the testifiers to talk about how to have a hearing where we can lay out an expansion from ethanol to other forms of biofuels?
Representative Anderson.
Representative Morrow, absolutely yes. We need to move all of these forms forward. And as I mentioned, we have had talks in the past couple of weeks, and certainly we want to work together. And I think there's room for both of these sources of bioenergy in Minnesota's future. So yes, I definitely want to work with all parties involved.
Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And one benefit may happen, I know that maybe Representative Schumacher can work with you on this, is that we could notice a hearing in which we're going to talk about the expansion. We could make sure that people know that we're going to discuss this. We could have testifiers come and bring their knowledge both from GEVO and from maybe there's folks in higher education, for example, who've been doing research. So we could have a full hearing on the expansion. That would be a very good idea.
Representative Anderson?
Yes, I fully agree, Madam Chair. Yes.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just another question for the testifier regarding, you know, how the future of this might look. Do you anticipate that you would add on to existing ethanol plants as you move down the road, or is there a possibility that building brand-new facilities might be a more efficient venture into this new biobutanol production market?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, currently our business model is to retrofit existing ethanol assets. Long-term, it's potential that we would build greenfield facilities. Given the economics of what ethanol plants currently trade for today in terms of acquisition price and our ability to joint venture with partners, you know, as mentioned, we'd like to be joint venture partners. We don't want to spend all of our capital building ethanol plants. It makes a lot more sense for GEVO's business model in case to partner and license our technology. So I cannot promise that we'd be doing greenfield expansions anytime in the near future. It'd be more so that any starch-based product will be a joint venture or license opportunity going forward.
Okay. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on that, so as you retrofit an existing ethanol plant, do you utilize all the facility that is currently there, or are there parts of the current facility that are no longer needed?
Mr. Dwyer.
Madam Chair, so the GEVO technology is twofold. One, we've modified a yeast organism. The second is we have a separation system that bolts onto the existing ethanol asset. We use 100% of the existing ethanol facility, and in fact, we leave in the ability to go back to ethanol as needed. So it's a retrofit. It's a bolt-on extra unit operation that bolts onto the fermentation and the distillation columns of an ethanol plant. We use 100% of the facility.
Thank you.
Okay, members, any other questions? See any other testifiers? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, has this bill a Senate companion?
Representative Hansen, there is language similar to this in, I believe it's an omnibus bill in the Senate, but there is no single bill in the Senate.
And Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Hansen.
Representative Anderson, has that bill met deadline in the Senate?
Representative Anderson?
I believe it has, yes.
I think we can proceed with the vote. I apologize. Representative Anderson, any closing comments?
Madam Chair, just a couple of final comments before we vote. I've enjoyed the discussion today, but bear in mind we're really talking about two separate issues here. Not separate, but two related issues. And to my colleagues, if we vote this bill down, this ethanol standard would expire at the end of this year. So please, let's not confuse the issues here that if you are supporting biofuels, take a look at this bill, and we need to extend that deadline, and then you have my assurance and leadership's assurance that we will work in the interim to come up with a way that works to include biobutanol in Minnesota's energy future. But again, just bear in mind on what we are actually voting on here today. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Anderson, would you please renew your motion to pass?
Madam Chair, I renew my motion to pass on the House File 2741 as amended to be moved to the General Register.
Okay. Members, roll call vote.
Representative Anderson Paul?
Yes.
Representative Eakin?
Yes.
Representative Anderson Bruce?
Pass.
Representative Falk?
Yes.
Representative Franson?
Yes.
Representative Fritz?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hush?
Yes.
Representative Kath?
Yes.
Representative Keel?
Yes.
Representative McElfetrick?
Yes.
Representative Morrow?
Yes.
Representative Purcell?
Yes.
Representative Poppy?
Yes.
Representative Schumacher?
Yes.
Representative Szymanski?
Yes.
Representative Swadzinski?
Yes.
Representative Torkelson?
Yes.
Representative Vogel?
Yes.
Representative Ward?
Yes.
Madam Chair? Okay. All right, members, with that, it passes. Total. Oh, I'm sorry. The total. Okay. Representative Anderson.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. I want to thank my fellow members for the vote. And one note that I was given, and I apologize, I forgot to mention before the vote that the Minnesota Farmers Union and Farm Bureau both support this bill.
Yes. The motion passes to the General Register. And members, do you know the meeting is adjourned, and I don't know what we're doing next. Okay. Stay tuned. Meeting's adjourned.